Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Woo! It's gonna be a rough one, boys.
Wow.
I hit the button ever so slightly. I don't know what I'm doing. What's up, everybody? And welcome in to the Winner's Lounge.
Let's go. Oh, let's go, dude. Who needs Brendan?
Let's go.
League Nuggets get another win and improve to 2-1. Very impressive record there, those Summer League Denver Nuggets. We're going to break it all down for you and cover some news, man. Lots to get into. But first, we are presented, as always, by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. You can use promo code DNVR whenever you sign up. You can also start betting on Summer League. The games are rough. They could be a little bit rough. We're in the rough part of Summer League now, and betting a little money might make it slightly less rough. I am joined by a man whose name is Eric /D-line.
Let's go! Anything is possible! What a great game, guys. I am electric. I also spent almost all day sleeping because I'm still hungover to some degree from Las Vegas.
People should just mark it in their calendars the week the DNVR crew gets back from Vegas. Not the best week.
No, bad week. It's a bad week.
Yeah, you gotta factor. It's basically like a back to back for us. We're basically pushing through a back to back right now. The man who is in an undisclosed location. It is Harrison Wind.
Undisclosed location.
Undisclosed.
Since I hit 30, man, I need at least a 48-hour recovery time from Vegas.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me for 48 hours.
I don't want to talk to you right now.
Maybe I'm good.
You're SOL because we're going to talk to you and you're going to have to talk in front of, hundreds of people at this very moment. Yeah. The Nuggets get the win over – I don't even have the scoreboard up here. They get the win over the Los Angeles Clippers. Every game we've been doing this thing, the heat index, right? Where we kind of give out the how many guys are flames tonight. Eric, how many guys were flames on the old heat index today?
Well, it depends on who you ask. I said one, you said none. The final published version of the heat index contained zero flames players.
I think that's accurate. I don't think there was any flames players. 80-75, that was the final score. Peyton Watson shoots 3 of 14 from the field. Peyton Watson came out of the gate tonight. Best 3 minute stretch of the whole summer league. I was like, I'm gonna say this line a lot over the course of this episode, that confidence is so much, especially in summer league. Especially these guys, they got the jitters. They're trying to make it's like tryouts. Tryouts in high school. This feels like tryouts. These guys want to make a strong impression, so there's a wait. And if you get some momentum, I do feel like it gets a little easier. Peyton Watson had a phenomenal game two. Phenomenal game two. To start this game, first 3 minutes, I'm like, oh my God, his confidence is through the roof. We're going to get the very best version of him. And then that too disappeared. But nonetheless, I'm actually still encouraged by Peyton Watson, even though I'm looking at the stat sheet, 3 of 14 from the field, 1 of 5 from the 3-point line, 2 of 6 from the free throw line. But he still goes for 9 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 block shots. I thought he had a steal. It looks like they did not credit him for a steal, but I thought he had a steal. Harrison, what did you make of Peyton Watson's third game?
Thought it was better than his first game, definitely worse than his second game. But I think overall I'm a little encouraged like you. He had just the most classic summer league sequence ever today, right at the beginning of the game. He swishes his first three-pointer, throws his hand up, starts playing with the crowd, talking shit, and then comes down on the next possession and just airballs another three. Like, it was so classic Summer League. And I feel like it's probably what we're going to get a lot from Peyton Watson this season. Just flashes of brilliance. And you're sitting there saying, like, wow, this guy, I totally buy what Calvin Booth's selling. But then you're also going to see possessions where you look at him and go, this guy's got a long way to go. But overall, I'm still encouraged with what he's done these last couple games.
Eric, that first block of the game, it was on the first possession. That was like a big boy block, man. Mm-hmm. Like, some guy was going to dunk it. I don't even remember who it was. It wasn't Peyton Watson's man, but he rotates over from behind and, like, get that out of there. It was one of those ones. Like, I put this on the list today. He has really good reflexes. Like, he reacts really quickly to things, and I think that's how he get these. But that play to me was probably his best play of Summer League.
Yeah, it's funny. It was like the first play of the game, right?
Yeah.
Like, got it right actually for this game. Just like got it right out of the way. No, I mean, like, I agree with you. It started off where I was like, oh man, this guy's everywhere. He's getting rebounds. He's blocking shots. He is in the lanes. He's like not. He's keeping his guy in front of him. And it really felt like early on, it was like, my God, like this is like the Nuggets' main pick from this draft, which is hilarious because we were like, you know, just thinking that he was just a flyer, you know, not a lot to look forward to. Christian Brown was like the real prize. You know, as the game went on, I mean, it's hard to read too much into any of this, but you're right. Like it feels like the word we're going to use every single time we talk about him is just the word confidence. Like he came out, his confidence was sky high. And then like, as the game went on, it like got a little bit like less and less, like his shot became worse and worse. And he just kept falling down like at various points, like trying to make
it's actually one of my notes here. It's funny. One of my notes is he falls over a lot on drives. Cause you're right. It's like a noticeable trend with him that he drives so hard and then just like falls.
He just like slips like his like foot. It was crazy.
I think it's his balance. Like honestly, it's a fundamental. Like you can imagine like playing soccer. I'm not a soccer player. I would probably fall over more than the average guy. Just cause I'm like, man, this is kind of hard kicking a ball and running. It's a fundamental. He falls over cause he gets going too fast and his balance isn't great.
Yeah, I mean, but overall, it's funny. Like, the one main takeaway for me from this game was just like the Nuggets developed a team identity in Summer League. We have a Summer League team identity. They play as a team. No one player is bigger than the Summer League team.
Oh, I love it.
Which is not great.
Ryan Bowen?
It's not great when you're looking for one player to rise above the rest of the Summer League so you can sign them. But I don't know if they can sign the whole team. Like,
it's not about the name on the back of the jersey, D-line. It's about the name on the front.
I don't even think they have a name on the front. I'm not sure. It's unclear. I agree with you, though. Part of it is, I think, actually how we should be analyzing this team. And that is the Nuggets put together a roster of defenders because they want to see who could defend and they want to find a defender. But this is not like a healthy roster in terms of like, oh, they check all boxes. You got a shooter, you got a slash. Like they're missing a creator. And Colin Gillespie is the best of them by far. Like he's actually really good. We're going to talk about him because he's my large adult son. I love that dude. But they're missing guys that can just kind of make things happen, get to the rim and make shots, get to the mid-range and make shots. They don't have that. So I think you do have a little bit of a bunch of guys that are kind of like standing around looking at each other. I do like this comment, though, Harrison. Peyton is baby Giannis.
No question.
I've seen
he's a mix of baby Giannis and Kevin Durant. So.
Oh, wow. But he's like, look, Summer League is for the hype.
I'll say this. The Nuggets just haven't had a guy like Peyton Watson in the Jokic era, 6'8", and a natural three who's a projectable elite defender. The closest guy that they've had that fits that archetype is Jeremy Grant. And, you know, he was even playing a little out of position at the three. He wasn't the lockdown defender that Peyton Watson can be in due time. I just think it's exciting that they finally have this 6'8 dude with a 7-foot wingspan who can just be an all NBA level defender one day. Like, we've been asking for Denver to get this type of guy forever, and now the Nuggets finally have him. So it's been cool just to see the flashes.
Yeah, I actually am pretty intrigued with Peyton Watson. Like, I'm in, even though tonight was I kind of feel like this is going to be 50% of the nights for Peyton Watson. I really do. Like, this
for
is
sure.
You mentioned it was better than the first game, worse than the second. I think it might have been a little bit closer to the second game. Like, the first 4 minutes, all like the second game, maybe even better. But after that point, like, he had 7 points then. I think he finished with 9. So after that point, he was kind of back to first game. And I just, his skill level, his fundamentals are so raw that I think he's going to have a lot of nights like this where the stuff that doesn't pop is going to shine a little bit more. But nonetheless, I actually remain encouraged. I will say, can you imagine if we would have seen game one of Peyton Watson and then game three of Peyton Watson and not game two? Like, we would be a lot more nervous if we didn't see the, like, good, you know, the payoff.
Right. But just imagine if we had seen game two of Peyton Watson before game one Peyton Watson.
The hype would have been out of control.
And the hype would have been on another level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't know. If we would have seen game one, then game two, we would have been like, oh, man, he's getting better. I can see it. And then, but unfortunately, it's never good when you move backwards. That's tough to swallow.
I love Rob Che. I didn't know anybody was all in on Peyton Watson. Good for you, man. Honestly, like, there's no reason not to be, or, you know, you can kind of stake your claim here on some of these guys.
Baby Giannis.
He says he is Baby Giannis, 100. Just a year behind Giannis as a rookie. This kid is going to be a star. I'm all in. Holy smokes. I'm not going to make any big proclamations, honestly. But I think I'm 3 games in. I feel like I'm not going to make any big proclamations on any of the players. I just – none of the guys have done anything positive or negative enough to warrant the hot take. It's just like, okay, I kind of see what they're supposed to be. I have no idea if they're going to actually be that or not. The next guy we have to talk about, though, maybe the most important one, Christian Brown, 30 minutes tonight, 30 and a half minutes. Gets 8 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks. That's a hell of a stat line right there, D-line. That's a hell of a stat line. 8 points is a little low, but then we scroll over. 1 of 10 from the field, 0 of 5 from the three-point line. He even went 6 of 8 from the foul line. Now, that was 0 of 2. He missed 2 free throws on a shooting foul. So I look at this and I go, he still filled up the box score and all the other stuff, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks. Like, that's really impressive. But we're 3 games in now, and his shooting has just consistently been bad. And I feel like he's in his head.
He's definitely in his head, and his shooting's getting worse. That's, like, not what you want to see. Like, the confidence spectrum is going the opposite direction for Christian Brown than it is for Peyton Watson. Like, he came out in the first game we watched, we were like, oh, my God, like, this guy's the perfect guy. Like, he is fearless. He is emotionless out there. He's a killer. And now it's like, can he shoot the ball? Like can he? He has no confidence on offense. He's not looking for a shot at all. It's funny because, you know, again, this is summer league. Like you said, there's absolutely no creators on this team outside Colin Gillespie. There are a couple times, like several times, where he found himself at the top of the key and was looking to kind of make some moves, you know, that kind of shimmy back and forth, and it just looks so rough. Like, clearly not his game. But the problem is that he was also being fed spot up shots, and he was just not even coming close to connecting on those either. He missed a flow. I mean, he just was so bad on the offensive end tonight that it sucks, because we gave him a yellow ball, which is, if you look at the rest of his stats, like, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, like, 3 blocks, whatever. I mean, that's a good night, typically speaking. He was just so unspeakably terrible on the offensive end. Like you said, I mean, it's summer league. We'll say that a million times. I don't know, blah, 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 blah. But, man, it's not an encouraging night for Christian Brown. Browntown on notice.
Ooh, Browntown on notice. Look, I mean, the shot's been really bad. He's 1 of 20 from 3 through 3 summer league games. Like, any way you splice it, that's ugly. And tonight, he shot a 3-pointer early on the game, absolutely bricked it, like, barely grazed the rim. And I'm with you, D-Line. I felt like from that point on, he kind of shied away from the ball, just didn't really want it. Like, we've seen him want it.
I don't know. It's not about
in these last it. Couple of games.
Don't you think he's in his head? Like, it's not about want it. Because want it.
Well, that's why I want it.
But, like, we've seen him, you know, like, try to go to the ball, like, still try to get stuff, you know, get the ball, get something at the rim. It seemed like he was barely touching it. After that first three that Browns he bricked, it's not good in Brown Town really right now. It's not good. It's not good. Am I nervous? Am I nervous about Christian Brown's shot and his offensive game? No, I think he's going to be fine. But you just want to see him get some threes to go down. Like, his defense was really good today again. He was rebounding as well. His defense the other game against Ochai Agbaji was great. Like, he locked him up. But I just got to see him hit some threes here.
Yeah. The question now is, are you concerned? And I would say I'm not concerned. It's summer league. Like, summer league really doesn't matter that much. I am impressed with much of his game. Like, I do think his defense has been pretty good. He does see – you know, one of the things Calvin Booth said after the draft was, we want guys that just do stuff. They just, like, whether they're having a good game or not, they just get their hand, they get deflections, they get rebounds, they get tips, they take charges. Christian Brown is that. Like, he actually does all of those things, and he has even in his bad games. At some point, you would like to see some shots go down. And now that we are three games into Summer League, I mean, Summer League might only be two more games. They've got one more in pool play, then they go to the tournament round, which is kind of the dumbest round of the history of basketball. But really, it's like one more, maybe two more games to showcase himself. So even if he has two good shooting games, you'll still look at three bad shooting games, you know, whatever. But it would be nice to see him get one or two. And I see some people in the chat saying, hey, his shot looks really flat. I agree. That's the one thing when you watch the shot, it doesn't have a lot of arc on it. Like, it's really kind of a dart that he's throwing right now. So on top of that, tonight he got by the first line, you know, he got to the rim and wasn't finishing. He had a couple shots that you kind of expect. It's one thing to miss threes, guys wax and wane on 3-point shooting, but when you get to the rim, that should be a more consistent shot. Like, there should be certain shots, and tonight he missed a couple of them that you're like, yeah, you got to make those at the NBA level to kind of stay honest. Yeah. So he's struggling. I do think he's in his head, but you know what? What have we heard from Calvin Booth and everyone else about Christian Brown? He's a winner, right? He's a winner. Mm. One of the things that's interesting about
this is... We won tonight, baby.
2-1. Two and one.
Let's go. He's a winner.
This close to being 3-0, which is kind of funny. 2-1, they get the win tonight. But more importantly, this is a chance. Tonight, the thing that was most shocking to me was I thought Christian Brown got scared. Not scared, but just got a little bit gun-shy. Tentative, I would say. And I want to see if in this next game, if that carries over, because for him to succeed next year, he's going to face a lot of adversity. He's going to get DMPs. He's going to play and get yanked. Like, he's going to have moments where he's not good. And if Summer League is sort of causing him that sort of gut check, then I don't have as much confidence like that come January, February, he's going to be a guy that can save the Nuggets, you know, or play those kind of minutes. So in some ways, this is a good sort of gut check for him. Can we get to my guy now?
Which is your guy?
You guys know Colin? Who my guy is.
Colin Gillespie? Gillespie. Let's go.
I love this dude, man. I do too, man. And tonight, most important of all, we got the all-coveted Monte Morris stamp of approval, you guys. Monte Morris. I watching the game, first of all, still Mr. Nugget. Until we find
he's got to have something better to do than watch Nuggets Clippers on a Wednesday night.
We don't. Right? Why would he?
Well, yeah, why does he? You think he really does? And he's watching him, and he says that he's a believer. He's a fan of Colin Gillespie. He says, like, I know what I'm talking about or something. Like, I'm trying to find the tweet right now as we say it. What do you make, Harrison, of getting the Monte Morris stamp of approval?
Well, I love it, man. It's not like Monte was given the stamp of approval to one of Denver's first-round picks. He gave it to, a point guard, but a guy who went undrafted. And, look, I'm sure, like, Monte knows Colin Gillespie's game. I'm sure he knows everybody's game that's ever played the game of basketball. But I thought it was cool. And I bet Monte sees a little of himself in Colin Gillespie. Sure. Four-year player in college. Gillespie is actually a five-year player. But guy who doesn't really turn the ball over, who just runs his team. And the Nuggets got a good one in Colin Gillespie that they absolutely did. Like, he is – steady Colin Gillespie, like he, you know what you're gonna get from him steady every Gillespie. Single night that Colin, he's out there. So
Colin Gillespie, yeah.
I think it's big, and I think you can look at Colin Gillespie, and I've tweeted this and I've written it, and you can look at him and say, all right, maybe the Nuggets just got their Monte Morris like they did in 2017 again.
Yeah. Can I tell you something real quick, D-Line? Mr. Nugget, we all know that's Monte Morris. We haven't awarded anybody Mr. Nugget just yet. We know that Colin Gillespie is going to be down with the Grand Rapids Gold.
Unbelievable.
We know he's going to be down there on a two-way.
Dude, he's Mr. Gold.
He's Mr. Gold.
Let's go. The Golden Boy.
I think he might be Mr. Gold.
He loves gold. I'm in it. Mr. Gold. Absolutely. No question. With a bullet. Colin Gillespie. I love, my favorite part about Colin Gillespie is that everyone sees themselves in him. Michael Malone sees him. Like, he's just, we should call him the mirror. He's just, everybody sees themselves in Colin Gillespie.
Can I tell you, everybody's wrong about this, though, because he's actually good. Like, everybody's like,
dude.
He's the everyman who just tries hard. No, he's a stud, man. That dude is a stud.
He's a total stud. I honestly think the Monte Morris comp is kind of cheating him. Like, I think he's better than Monte Morris in a lot of ways.
Hold on. Let me finish.
Okay. In potential. Okay. Like, right. Monte Morris, I just see more explosivity out of Colin Gillespie. Yeah. I see more trickery ball handling. I see, like, he looks like Monte Morris now, you know, like Monte Morris has a like largely unspectacular steady game. I think,
right, hold on, can I recap real quick?
Hold on.
Peyton Watson, baby Giannis.
Yes, baby Giannis. Okay.
Colin Gillespie is Monte Morris right now.
Yes. In play style. I literally see CP3 in his game. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, when I watch him, he reminds me more of Chris Paul than he does of Monte Morris. Not saying like that the skill level will ever get them to that place, but at least like I just think that he is more about like driving play than Monte Morris is. Monte Morris is more about like just like, even though he never turns the ball over, he's super reliable. Like, I don't view Monte Morris necessarily as a floor general. Like, I just view him as a guy that can kind of get things started. But Colin Gillespie feels like a guy that drives, that he attacks the rim, that he has a lot going. Take the Colin as my. That's right. Fuck you. Let's go. That's my guy. I see myself in Colin Gillespie.
If I read off the stats real quick from him tonight, he goes for 12 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, just 2 turnovers in 30 minutes, 5 of 11 from the field, just 2 of 7 from the 3-point line. He's just been solid, and a lot of those buckets came late, like just kind of putting the game away. I really like his game. I will say defensively, that's where I'm really watching him. I think it's unfortunate that the Nuggets haven't gone up against a great backcourt. For all of Denver's sake,
Adam.
But I
Adam,
don't know,
Adam. Adam, they went up against your boy Jason Preston.
Hey, man. Hey, man. Can I tell you actually something about Jason Preston? Because you're right.
Oh, he is please, guy. Please.
Have you remember last year how skinny he? He just looked so scrawny.
Yeah.
He filled out, man. He filled out. He gets his redshirt year to really put
on. He's
on
the bones diet.
He is on the bones. That's right. I love it. Bones, 5 pounds.
Like water weight. Just put on some water weight. Like hyped about it.
So I like Colin Gillespie, man. I'm very excited for him. And easy guy to root for. I'm very pumped for that era. Ishmael Kamagate. Should we do it on the other side? Let's get Ish on the other side. Let's take our first break. But on the other side, we'll get to Kamagate. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about Matt Mitchell and Jack White as well.
The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer. With tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports, you can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right, make your first bet up to $1,000. If it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash it in. Plus, you can throw down on all the major action for baseball, golf, MMA, NBA Summer League, lots more as well. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. Make your first deposit. Get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Also at Green Mountain Dental Group right now, you guys can schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. Receive a free Sonicare toothbrush when you do. Green Mountain Dental Group, they located in Lakewood. They're Colorado and Denver through and through, just like us here at DNVR. A lot of us at DNVR, we go there to get our teeth cleaned, cavities filled, get our wisdom teeth out. They're great people. They're great at what they do. 15 minutes from downtown Denver, Green Mountain Dental Group. Get a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. Receive a free Sonicare toothbrush today.
All right, there, a little heat index. You can see our grades. Let us know how we did. I love that everybody just puts like positive words in front of Gillespie. Constant Gillespie.
It's like a Mad Lib, man.
Really, it's whatever positive attribute you want to give. And then
it's, like, I see myself
quality Gillespie. Colin Gillespie.
I see myself mirror Gillespie. All right, let's move in. Ishmael Kamagate. I actually thought this was a really quiet game. I mean, he played 21 and a half minutes from him. He gets 2 points, three rebounds, one steal, three block shots. So his block shots have gone up in each game. But mostly I just kind of thought he was quiet tonight. Like, some of this was the ball wasn't finding him. Like, the team wasn't really getting the ball to him. But I thought there was large portions where I just didn't notice him. Harrison, what's your read on him?
Yeah, probably a similar thing to you. He still had the three blocks, which was really good. I mean, that's the one thing that we know that Ishmael Kamagate is going to do. He's going to block shots at the rim. And for a lot of this game, I mean, tell me if you think there's something here. The Clippers shot 36% from the field tonight. They had a really low two-point percentage. I've got to think a lot of that was because they just didn't want to challenge Kamagate at the rim.
Yeah, so, I think that's actually very fair. Yep.
Yeah. So I thought he was, you know, a presence defensively. He had the three blocks. Offensively, just didn't really get a lot of chances. Just three shot attempts.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like he had like a classic, as Harrison would say, summer league big man performance. Like a guy that is reliant on other guys to get him the ball. Yeah. And he's just like, okay, like I don't know what to do. I won't give me the ball. So I don't know how to make any kind of impression. He was fine. Like still like the most impressive thing about him is his reach, just his big long arms. Like he totally is turning guys away just by his simple presence, which is cool. Like, it was funny because they were talking about during the Michael Malone interview, like how the Nuggets were 30th in blocking and everything. And I was like, well, that would be Nikola Jokic. That makes sense. I understand that.
Right, right.
So I have no idea how Kamagate fits into the Nuggets' long-term plan. I mean, I assume they're thinking of him as their backup center probably next year. He looked serviceable. He looked like a player.
The block shot part is really important. I mean, he got zero in the first game, although he did alter a lot of shots, didn't play a ton of minutes, got two in the last game and then three in this one. Conditioning today, I didn't think was as noticeable and as in previous games. Like that was one of my things about him. And he does deter shots. The proof is in the pudding too. I mean, there's a lot of good defenders on the court, but you know, when you see that 36% or whatever from the field for a team, some of that's summer league, but some of that is also, you know, he's making an impact out there. So I still like the fit. I just don't think there was a very noteworthy game from Ishmael.
It's just hard a lot of times for a big man like him to get going because you're totally reliant on your point guard. And the Nuggets have a good one in Colin Gillespie.
Good.
But also,
I see myself in him.
But even he's looking to score the ball a little bit more than he was early on at Summer League. And also, if you're the defense, I mean, you're sagging in every time and trying to let them beat you from three because nobody can really shoot it at Summer League. So it's tough for a big like Kamagate to really get going. But he's playing hard. I feel like he's playing hard. Yeah. He's got a good motor while he's out there.
Yeah. Oh, I think he's incapable of not playing hard. He does run out of air. Why does Harrison hate Colin?
You know, I don't see myself in him.
Unbelievable. Joe Harris, he sees himself. Jake Lehman, but not Colin Gillespie. Okay, oh, all right, let's move on to some of these other guys. Last guy I want to get into before we get into all of the two-way candidates is Jonte Porter. And I say that maybe Jonte's a candidate. I don't think so. I don't think that's what Denver's looking for in that one. I love Jonte Porter's game, though. I've said this a lot. I liked what I even saw from him tonight for the most part. I thought he had some very nice moments. 7 points, six rebounds, two assists. Goes 3 of 7 from the field. The greatest shooting coach in America, probably the entire world, is Michael Porter Sr. Jonte's shot is really pretty. Michael Porter shot's the most beautiful shot I've ever seen. How do you get so many guys? I mean, these guys are 6'11". How do you get these guys to all have like the most beautiful textbook jumpers?
They're bored with it. It's like literally part of their physiology. Like
I don't know, you don't teach
any of that. I mean, like they're just so smooth, baby. They have, the Porters are smooth. There's really no other way to put it.
Are you impressed with him, Eric?
I am, like, in what you're talking about, like his jump shot. He doesn't look like a big man at all when he shoots the ball. You know, like he seems a little soft, honestly, like if when it comes to the defensive side of the ball.
I'm being corrected here. It might be Mrs. Porter that's the shooting coach. I don't know. I remember talking to.
Yeah. Shout out Lisa Porter.
Yeah. Lisa Porter. So I don't want to get this wrong. I do remember talking to Tim Conley one time where he was talking about what a great shooting coach Michael Porter Sr. is. So that's the only reason I went with it. But, you know, maybe a family of basketball, a family of hoopers.
Just a bushel of hoopers, just nonstop hoopers. But he looks, I mean, he looks interesting, if nothing else. Like, he definitely looks like he's a guy that can shoot the ball. I mean, I don't even know. I'm confused about Jontay Porter. Like, I don't know if he's, like, on the team to have, like, a serious look at him or if it's sort of, like, just, like, a favor to Michael or what his deal was. I mean, it was really strange to me. He didn't play in the second game, which was made me think like maybe it's not as serious as a proposition. But I mean, I would not hate if Jontay Porter was part of the Nuggets organization one way or the other.
I would love it. I would love it. I don't know if we can use the two-way on him and like the injury history makes it tough, but I just like his game. I mean, he has some things in his game that I really like.
Yeah. Well, he didn't play in the second game because I think they want to manage his knee a little bit. I don't think his knee is 100%, which sucks, man. And he took the whole last year off to try to get it right and rehab it. And I just watched Jontay Porter, and I think about what could have been because you're right, Adam. He has just, like, such an intriguing game for the modern NBA. He can pass it. He can shoot it. Yeah. He's like this dollar store Nikola Jokic, and you just look at him and say, like, if he is healthy and if he reached his potential, he would have a place in the NBA probably. I'm a big fan of him. I really like him as a person and a player, but yeah, I don't see the second two-way being used on him, unfortunately.
I see some people, I'm telling you, on Twitter right now are saying that Eric is now the leader of the Colin Gillespie. Yeah, what happened here?
Let's fucking go!
Oh, man.
Yes, I'm telling you. I have the flag on there.
Bless up.
You guys are all copying me. This is what's going on. I want to talk about the three guys that we all seem to believe are the main competitors for that second two-way, and they all had something interesting tonight. You've got Adonis Arms, who goes for 6 points, 4 assists, 1 rebound, 1 steal, 1 tomahawk jam. You have
almost two.
Almost all. Well, no. Almost like not even close, but he tried it anyway.
One was murder. The other was attempted murder.
Yeah, like really poorly attempted. Jack White out of Australia, 14 points, 6 rebounds,
good day.
1 assist, 2 steals, 1 block, 5 of 6 from the field, 2 of 2 from the 3-point line, which is very notable. That's really going to be the part that make or breaks him. Talk about a guy. He's the Colin Gillespie of small forward. Solid life.
I mean.
Steady white. Hey, Jack.
Why do we do this show? What is the point of this show? I don't
know. We should do this show at 11 o'clock at night is what we're learning here.
Mighty Jack White.
The last one, let me just go to Matt Mitchell real quick. He had 17 points, a game-high 17 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 5 fouls, 6 of 12 from the field, 5 of 10 from the 3-point line. Harrison, those three guys, Arms, White, Mitchell, how do you break down the three of them today and then kind of who's leading your clubhouse right now?
Well, the Matt Mitchell game, I think, was notable today because we've all been waiting for him to have a game that we could just at least talk about a little on this show because we haven't really mentioned his name at all. If you guys remember, he was getting a lot of buzz throughout summer league training camp about
a lot of buzz.
Potentially, you know, it could be his two-way spot to lose. And tonight he had really his first nice game at summer league, hit 5 of 10 threes, played good defense, which he's been doing. So I'd probably say he's still the leader in the clubhouse, but I don't get the sense that anybody has really separated themselves. Adonis Arms has flashed. And I think out of any of these three, like you could kind of squint and see it with him just because his athleticism and just his measurables. And then with Jack White, I mean, Jack White's just a really good player. We said this after he had 15 rebounds last game. He's a really good player. He's been playing professionally for the last couple of years. I just don't know what he is in the NBA.
Yeah. Eric, where are you at with those three guys?
Wow. I think Jack White has had two really solid games in a row. I think he got flames last time and red ball from us this time.
He could have maybe been flames, to be honest, man, like today. Like, he was
really Jack good. White's been the best player out of these three. It's just, what is he at the NBA level? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. He's just a solid guy that has a big barrel chest that's unafraid, that doesn't get blown by, that can make shots, that can get rebounds. He's just like a ultimate glue guy. It's funny. Like,
Would you say, Eric, that he's a Joe Ingles type?
Yeah, absolutely. Mills, Joe Ingles. I mean, like, those are the comps. Like, Ben Simmons. I mean, that's just who I see. No, like, he's just a solid player. And sometimes you just need, like, guys that don't need to be anything other than where the ball is, make the right choice, keep the ball moving. So I think he's probably the leader in my clubhouse, Jack White. Mitchell's game was probably the most impressive game, I think, of any of them that have been recorded in any of the games. Like, he was really good. He started off really bad this game. He was 0-for-3 or 0-for-5 or something, and then he really caught fire. He showed, like, he had a really nice looking fadeaway mid-range, hit those threes, and they were in as much as you can have a big shot in a summer league game. Like, they were when the ultra scary Clippers led by Jay Scrub were making their heated comeback. It was Mitchell that was able to sort of quiet the run, steady the team and get things going that way. So, and Adonis Arms, I agree with you. Like, he's just so, first off, it's just the name. How badly do we want Adonis Arms on our name?
Yeah,
our
you really
team? Like, more than anything. Like, if that guy's name was like Ted Johnson, we'd be like, this guy sucks. But he's Adonis Arms. I'm like, look at those arms, dude. They're amazing. What do you like when he slams it?
Yeah. Harrison's point is the one, because to me, this is like a no question. It's Jack White has been so good. He might be the best nugget of summer league. He might be the best summer league nugget. The guy is so solid. I am so impressed with him. My favorite type of player. And it is funny. Like, we almost talk about him as like the underdog, oh man, he's trying to break his way in. He's trying to sneak past these other guys. He went to Duke. Like, he's a top prospect. Now he's been playing professionally for several years. He's actually not in any way an underdog. He should be dominating. Chrysalis Arms. That's a deep cut right there, Tillin. Are we just delirious, so or is the chat like on fire today?
Dude, I never usually But now I'm summer. The chat's delirious
from three games of summer league.
Dude, the chat isn't postseason form. We're in offseason form. The chat has like never been better.
They really are.
Never been sharper.
But Jack White, to me, even with all of that, I look at it and I go, he just affects winning. And like, what do you need out of these two-way guys? We've done the upside thing at that two-way spot. They're like, oh, if this guy hits, he's a star. Part of me just thinks Denver needs. You look at the playoffs last year. Denver just needs guys that you have a bunch of these different guys. And then when the playoffs arrive, you're like, okay, who do we need? Do we need Jack White? He's going to rebound. He might guard. I've actually been very impressed with his on-ball defense, his ability to keep people in front of him. Maybe that's all you need. And you're not talking about a guy that's going to play a ton of minutes ever in his career, but maybe he's a guy that can play 5 to 10 minutes in a playoff series just to fill a gap that you kind of need. And
dude, he's flat. He's Vlatko. He's a shorter Vlatko. He's just like a guy that can kind of do everything okay, nothing spectacular, won't mess it up, won't win it, won't lose it. We'll make the right play, we'll get the rebound. He's just another Vlatko, in the best possible way.
And then Adonis Arms, to me, is by far the least good impactful player. He's got the athleticism, and when he pops, it really pops. You're like, he's the guy that you would pick if you were like, hey, he might grow into Torrey Craig. Which is good. Like, Torrey Craig started for a while. He started a playoff series for Denver. Like, Adonis Arms, maybe you can talk yourself into being molded in that. I don't personally see it. I see the physical tools, and I see some of the, playmaking, but I actually just don't. I think he's more likely to be a negative player at the NBA level for a while. And do you really need that? Do you really want that? Whereas Jack White maybe doesn't have anything better than what he's shown already, but I kind of feel like you could plug him in and give you 5 minutes in a pinch, and he would be something for you. So,
yeah.
And then Mitchell's the weird one, just because I still don't feel like I know what his game is. He hit 5 threes tonight. I have no idea if that means he had a good game or if he had a bad game and then hit 5 threes. Like, I don't know. It's so hard.
Mitchell, you know, Mitchell is David Roddy. Like, just a big, thick guy. Yeah. Like,
he can shoot. David Roddy's a lot smarter.
I don't know, man. To me, it's like they're pretty analogous. It's like you can he plays somehow smaller than he looks. Like, he's more finesse than you would expect for such a big, strong guy. Mm-hmm. And he has a good touch. And I mean, you would expect a guy like that to just be bowling guys over, knocking guys out of the way, slamming at the rim. But that's not his game, surprisingly. So I don't know what to make of him either, except for I think he played well. He stood out to me tonight. Like, I thought he had a really great
game. He had a really good game.
Yeah. Yeah. Arms is a project for sure. Like, you would put him on a two-way and be like, all right, we're going to develop you. We're really going to, like, put some resources into developing you and your legs. But I mean, Greenlight Jack White is the best player of the three.
He's like a lot better than that. I can't believe it. Harrison cracked himself up.
So terrible.
Nothing better than when Harrison gets himself. People keep saying Lu Dort is the comp for Mitchell. What I see is that Lu Dort is such a running back. Like, he's a fullback, right? With the way he, like, sort of drives to the lane, it's like he's like hitting the hole. I don't know if I see that physically. I kind of see it from Mitchell, but Eric's right. For as big as he is, he doesn't really play that way. He kind of goes to his fall away a lot.
A lot. Oh, he doesn't play strong at all.
Defensively, though, he is. That's where his strength really shines through. Like, that guy really is. He is a brick wall. That actually would maybe be his nickname, because the way he plays defense is where he, like, slides into guys and they hit him and just, like, bounce off him. And he's like, nope, you're not going past. So, I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to make the decision. I would probably go Jack White. I do like his game. If he's a three-point shooter, he went 2 for 2 tonight. If he was a three-point shooter, which I don't believe he is, but if he was, I'd be like, oh, he's a surefire NBA player. Like, he's a great connector. So if that's the only swing piece for him, maybe you kind of believe you can get him into the system and kind of get him to become Greenlight Jack White. Greenlight Jack White is he's an NBA player. Yellow light, I don't know. Red light, no. Get back
to the NBA. Jack White cannot enter into our sphere. We give him a nickname that's not based on the White Stripes. This is the lead singer of the White Stripes is named Jack White. I won't hear anything else. We can workshop it later.
You gotta go through the catalog and find a good nickname.
All right. The Seven Nation Army. I mean, whatever. We'll figure it out.
I mean, come on. Greenlight Jack White is kind of, I kind of like it. Harrison, why don't you take us into the break? But on the other side, there's actually a lot of news to get to, guys. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has been extended by the Denver Nuggets. This is actually a pretty meaningful development that we just saw tonight. And then also, Michael Malone says that Jamal Murray is going to be on a minutes restriction when the season opens up next year. We kind of suspected, but that feels like news. We'll get to both of those on the other side.
Make sure to pick up some Mile High City Copper Lager from Breckenridge Brewery. Breck Brews, the official beer of DNVR. Make sure to pick up some Mile High City Copper Lager wherever you are. If you're not in Colorado, if you need to know where to get Breck Brew, check out the Breck Brew beer locator on breckbrew.com. That will tell you where to get Mile High City Copper Lager, any Breckenridge Brewery, the Breck Brew Good Company Seltzers as well, no matter where you are. So make sure to pick up some Breckenridge Brewery and some Mile High City Copper Lager today. Breck Brew is the official beer of DNVR. Also, if you want to get set up and be able to watch Nuggets and Avs and Rapids games next season, check out Ivaca TV. Ivaca TV has Altitude Sports. They have AT&T Sportsnet, so you can watch the Rockies as well. They have other national channels too. You can get it at ivaca.tv/DNVR. Use the promo code DNVR. You're going to get $10 off your first 3 months. It's only $15 a month for those first 3 months, plus a receiver, no contract, no hidden fees. Ivaca.tv/DNVR. Use the promo code DNVR. Get $10 off your first 3 months. That comes out to $15 a month. You can also watch us on Ivaca TV on the DNVR channel. How cool is that? We have our own TV channel on Ivaca TV. Make sure to check them out today.
Back here, final segment of the DNVR Nuggets podcast. And we have to get to our top story tonight, guys. I actually forgot about it. Our top story
coming in the third segment.
Oh, crap. It's that I was going to get into. Let me hold on. Really choking here.
Our top story coming in the third segment that you're unprepared for introduce it.
I'm on this new computer. I'm being controlled. I'm a wreck right now, you guys. I'm a wreck. Oh, here it is. Our
top physical jitterbug.
Physical Matt Mitchell. What about that?
No, he's the Matt truck.
Today, I don't know if you guys saw this. Larry Nance Jr. hopped on the Road Tripping podcast and told a story. The story, he said, the most impressive performance he's ever seen on a basketball court was Nikola Jokic's 46-point triple-double against the New Orleans Pelicans, his New Orleans Pelicans this year in March. March 5th, I believe, was the date. He said, and then he clarified. He didn't want anybody to misthink, oh, maybe he's not remembering all of the games he's witnessed personally. He was on the court for LeBron James's game one of the 2018 NBA Finals, in which LeBron James had 58-8, almost unseating like the perfect team, which, in my opinion, is the greatest single game I've ever watched, like complete game. Larry Nance Jr. says, no, I remember that game, guys. The Jokic one, just a little bit better. He's unstoppable. That game now, guys, to be fair, that game was perfect.
Yeah.
Jokic was incredible, but I kind of feel Larry Nance Jr. definitely in the club, no?
Oh, dude, Larry Nance Jr., he's got a guest pass for as long as he wants it. I mean, when you, especially today, also started off with the guy that was filling in for
whoever's that Rich Eisen.
Rich Eisen fill-in that go. There's nothing worse than somebody calmly explaining to you like just absolute nonsense. He's like, well, if you think about it, blah, and you're like, no, I don't care how calm you are as you deliver these insane points. It makes them no less insane. So then for the day to wrap up with the absolute most beautiful cosign I've ever seen in my life. The most impressive game he's ever seen, Nikola Jokic. You know what's funny is I didn't even really remember that game. It wasn't in the front part of my brain. I'm just saying, like, that's what Nikola Jokic is. You can have this many things where a game like that can sort of fall by the wayside because he's so goddamn impressive. I mean, listen, I'm not saying it wasn't a good game. I'm saying Nikola Jokic is that dude where he can have a game that is the...
You need to go watch that game again. You need to go watch
that. I will, but I'm telling you, there are other games that happened since then that I've been as impressed by.
Yeah, the Clippers game, that one, game four of the playoffs, like... Those are the games you need to remember from this year. The Monte game winner probably won that one.
For sure. You get my larger point is that Nikola Jokic is that impressive. Like, if, for example, Greenlight Jack White had a game like that, we would never stop talking about it. Like the Wancho game. Like, there's
the
no
greenest of green lights for Jack White if he had.
Yes,
that game.
The Wancho game will the Bo Cruz game will never be forgotten. But Nikola Jokic can just have 8 million the most impressive games anyone's ever seen, and they're different games.
I got to share a great tweet we got from our guy here, Marquise Jarman. He says, my friends took a candid picture of me walking in somewhere.
So good.
Look at this.
That's incredible.
Literally the greatest thing of all time.
I also love that this wasn't staged. Like, his buddies just took a photo and he's like, yo, in the club.
Hold on. What's this guy's name? Marquise?
Jarman.
Harman? Marquise Jarman. I don't know. I don't believe you that was not staged. I'll just say that. I think that was planned.
I mean, it wasn't this. If it was planned, terrible job, because he's opening the door like and walking through it as opposed to opening the door for somebody else. Some of the logistics were off. So. Or the specifics were off.
Good attempt, though, Marquise. Good attempt.
I think I think that was unplanned. I think he just literally is a member of the club.
Ryan Green with a good one. Jack White is hot from three. The three-point line becomes the white stripe.
God damn it. Stop encouraging Ryan Green. No one retweet Ryan Green. No one follow Ryan Green. We can't. This is becoming bigger than you guys realize.
D-line. Adam is right. That Pelicans second half in OT was the best.
That's not what I said.
A lot of people are saying Adam was right today. D-line was wrong.
Here are the things you cannot do. You can't retweet or acknowledge a pun made by Ryan Green or say the words Adam was right in any circumstance.
Anyway, I thought it was really cool that Larry Nance, and also, by the way, I don't know if I'd ever heard Larry Nance talk that way, like just talk. He was a great podcaster. Like the way he tells that story on the show, that's actually like an 8-minute clip I tried to condense down. Hilarious. Like he actually, you know who he reminds me of is Blake Griffin. You know, Blake Griffin has a really good like comedic delivery of things. Larry Nance, who knew? Great comedic timing.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting.
All right, our real top story tonight, though, is actually that the Denver Nuggets have extended Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. They've given him a 1+1 extension, so he'll have this season plus one more, and then he'll have a player option on the final year of that deal. It was a 2-year extension for $30 million, of course, the second half of that being that player option. So $15 million a year. He's on a $14 million contract. He gets bumped up to 2 more years of $15 million. The big story here is, you know, the Nuggets got Jeremy Grant. The Nuggets gave up some pieces to get Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. If you only have him for 1 year, all year are you sweating? He's on a contract year. He could walk. Do you get a Jeremy Grant situation? Locking him up, the Nuggets have their roster now for at least 2 years. They're going to get to run if they want. They get to give this thing 2 years chance. Harrison, were you surprised by this extension? Were you excited by it? What was your takeaway?
This is a great move. It's a great move from Calvin Booth to lock this guy in. And yeah, you're right. They did give up, you know, say what you want about Will Barton and Monte Morris. One guy is probably on the downside of his career. The other guy is a backup point guard, but it's two starters from last year's team that won a lot of games and made the playoffs. Like that's a bunch to give up in a trade. And, you know, you get back a starter in KCP, but to lock him in and to have all five members of this starting lineup under contract for the next 2+ years, that's massive, man. That's the window. You know, we've got like 2.5 years to get this shit done, and yeah, we'll see what it looks like on the other side. But it's a great move to lock him in. If they were to let him get to free agency, like he would have been in demand. So I think that it was the right move. You could see it coming, and Denver's got their starting five for the next couple of years. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, they definitely, like, this front office, minus Tim Connelly, like, learned their lesson with Jeremy Grant, clearly. Like, they did pull the same thing with Aaron Gordon. Like, they just preemptively signed him to an extension just to make sure that when, you know, like, the first year that he's here isn't just then the conversation comes up, like, okay, is he going to re-sign, blah, 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 distracting throughout the year. And I mean, I love it. It's just like, okay, this is the guy. It also shows like intentionality. Like this is the guy we wanted. Let's make sure that we, you know, he fits the vision of the team that we have. So let's make sure that we give this team the vision and the runway to actually accomplish the goals that we think that they can. So I love it.
Can I take one other little victory lap here? And I'm actually serious about this one, not for myself. People have to understand something. I just want the truth, like the right criticisms. I don't like when people make the wrong criticisms. Like if you make the wrong criticisms and I agree with you that you should be criticizing the person, but I think in the wrong way, I'll argue that. I'll be like, no. Here's the problem. When I said that I thought the Kroenkes were at a point where they are willing to open up the checkbook, that was from what I believe to be very well-sourced information. And not just that, also from looking cross-referencing their other teams and saying, hey, yep, the Kroenkes have been cheap for yep, almost all of their existence. But for some reason, and I don't know why, I'd love to have Josh on the show to explain it. For some reason, they appear to be in a moment in time when they're willing to spend right now.
The table's hot.
And we just saw with the Rams. Now we're seeing it with the Avs. They're opening up the checkbook right now for this Avs team and signing some guys to deals that people didn't expect. And now you get in, and I remember, look, the first day of free agency, it did look not great. It looked like, okay, they're shedding some salaries. Not looking good here. The Nuggets are now not just committed to a lot of money right now. They're committed to money for 3 years, basically. Could they get under it? Yes, but it would actually take hard work. Like, these are not moves of an owner that is looking to shed salary. It would now take hard work to shed salary from this point forward. So I just – Again, you can criticize them in a lot of different capacities, but right now, for whatever reason, I just think it's important to acknowledge, hey, they appear to be spending money, like real money.
They are. And I'll tell you why they are. Like, the Kroenkes got a taste of winning championships in the last 12 months with the Rams winning the Super Bowl, the Avs winning the Stanley Cup, pretty much back-to-back. They got a taste of it. Like, the Kroenkes are on top of the sports world right now. If the Nuggets win a championship
I hope this is
next season, If the Nuggets win a championship next season, it will be like an unprecedented run for ownership, winning three world championships in the span of like 24 months or something like that. It'd be crazy.
It'd be less than that. It'd be like 16 months.
Yeah, 16 months.
It'd be something crazy.
Yeah, like 1.5 years. The feeling inside the Nuggets organization right now is the Kroenkes are more motivated than ever because they've gotten this taste of winning. These people are the most competitive people you've ever met, more competitive than Steady Colin Gillespie.
No, but you take that back.
Who is an incredibly competitive dude. But these guys are some of the most competitive dudes on the planet. Speaking about the Kroenkes, they want to win. They gotten a taste of winning championships, and they want to stack as many as they can right now. Like, that's where this is coming from. And yeah, they are spending money, and they're doing everything we've asked of them in that capacity.
Yeah, it could be the drunk with winning thing. That really could be it. I think it might be more that their MO is just to be cheap at all times until your team's ready to go all in. Yes. Like, they might be the team at the guy at the poker table who never bets, always folds, and then when yes. they get the good hand, they're like all in. That might be them.
I think that's exactly it. And I think it's more than just like feeling that. I mean, I think I watched Josh Kroenke walk into Cox Pavilion, and his chest was like puffed out. Like, he had like, such a swag about him. I was like, and I was good for him, man. Like, yeah. I agree. Like, the Kroenkes really are, they've been taking like universal flack for years. They've been like painted the villains. Like, their like forms have been burned in effigy in England. Like, something usually reserved for literal witches. And people have been mad at them. And I really have always sort of held the belief, especially with this Nugget squad, that it's like once it's worth spending, like it's stupid to just throw bad money at a team just because then you can say, oh, they're spending. I mean, if you can't convince the right players to come to your team, and it takes a while to build a team, you can only add 1 to 2 players a year through right. the draft. Then you have to convince players to come through free agency, which has always been difficult for Denver just because of the regionality of it. And that's changing. Like, now it makes sense. Now you have the back-to-back MVP. Now your two complementary stars are supposedly going to be healthy. Like, now is the time to strike. It's exactly that. You're on the blackjack table, and you know the table is hot. Like, double those bets, triple those bets. Like, now's the time, man. Like,
that is Eric's style. You're right, David.
Dude. As soon as we switch out the shoe, like, pull those bets back, man. Yeah, we switch out the dealer, the vibes change entirely. But like,
how long do you think that Eric is going to be making just Vegas themed metaphors? Oh,
forever. This will never end.
The KCP thing, Harrison. Is there any part of you that worries at all that it is an extension for a guy we haven't seen? Like, we don't know that KCP fits. We all think he does. It seems like the talent fits, but maybe he doesn't. Is there any concern now that you just added more money to a guy we've never seen play with this group?
Sure, there's always the unknown, but it's not like they added him for a ton more money. I mean, he was making $14 million last year. He's making $15 million on this extension, so it's tradable as well. But I think Denver looked at KCP, honestly, in a very similar way to they looked at Aaron Gordon when they went out and got him. They surveyed the market with Gordon. I don't think there were many gettable fours out there that they thought would fit better with Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray, and Nikola Jokic other than Aaron Gordon. And they were right, I think. And I think they took the same approach with KCP. They looked to see what two guards were gettable. And yeah. I don't think there was one out there that they thought could be a better fit with this starting lineup than Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. So, sure, he might not be the perfect A-plus 100% fit that we all think he could be, but I'd be very, very surprised if he wasn't just a great fit.
The last little bit of news we have here, it's not really even news. We had kind of heard this behind the scenes. I think people probably speculated that this was true. But Michael Malone, who, by the way, two times now he's gone on the broadcast.
He loves it, man. He loves it.
Are we going to see him again in Summer League? Is he going to make another broadcast appearance?
I mean, you remember my conspiracy corner take from a couple weeks ago.
Let me hear it.
That Michael Malone wants to be more in the limelight this season.
I forgot. I love it. Gosh, Harrison strikes again.
It keeps coming to fruition.
I love it. He's going to be great on the podcast. I'll say that.
Man, I hope so, man. We got to get him on the show.
I know.
It's a travesty that he will hop on a Summer League game. There's more people watching this than the Summer League game. I guarantee it.
I've spent more time defending Michael Malone than I have myself. Like, I'll take more slings and arrows online than I'll just be like, well, I probably deserve that. And then Michael Malone, I'm like, you shut your fucking mouth, man.
But he says that today that he suspects that Jamal Murray will not be playing 35 minutes per game. In fact, he didn't even say he suspects. He kind of stated it as a fact. Jamal's going to be more playing minutes in the 20s to start the season and ramping up from there. Eric, when you hear that at all, does it make you nervous? Was it expected? Are you cool with it? How do you feel?
I mean, we're so far out that that just feels like what you're supposed to do. We'll see how if Jamal Murray's like issue the last several years is he's such a slow starter. So, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's a great move. I don't know if it's a great move to come to actually like start him off. Like, I mean, you don't want to run him into the ground, but also I don't think it's a great move to treat like wrap him in bubble wrap either. Like, he's a really young guy. He's the beneficiary of like new medical innovation that has like gone on to like really seamlessly repair a lot of guys' like knees and, Achilles and things that were like formerly death sentences. I feel like Jamal Murray, we should just be thinking about like that he wasn't injured. Like, you just need to be like, Jamal, like, go out there, be a killer. Don't think about the fact that you were injured. We don't want to remind you that you were injured. Like, it's just go time now. Like, move forward. So, I mean, we'll see. Like, obviously at this, like, a guy, you say the same thing with Michael Porter Jr., anybody coming off of injury, like, we're not going to hurt the guy again. We want to be smart. It's a long season, blah, blah, blah. But like, Jamal Murray needs to come out and like reestablish who he is in this league. It's been too long. He's missed two consecutive playoffs, which was not two calendar years because of COVID, but feels like two calendar years he's been gone, and people have begun to forget about him, and it's time for him to like come and reestablish who he is in this league.
God, I love this take, Eric. Honestly, God, sincerely, I love this take because we keep analyzing the Murray situation from a like safe, protective, whatever. Like, and I think
young
that's
guy, fun. Man,
it's important, but I kind of do want to hear Jamal Murray with the like, I need to remind people, because he does.
Yes,
like,
he does.
We've seen the list. We've seen the list of the best guards in the NBA, the best young guards. He's been lapped. Like, he was, to me, like, people had Booker ahead of him, but I always thought that he had the more impressive resume. You know, Booker has passed him, because Booker now was on a team that won 60-something games. Like, you know, he deserves those accolades and went to a finals. But there are guys like Ja Morant and these guys like in the next tier. I wouldn't be surprised when we get the rankings that always come out right before the season begins. You know how everybody does rankings of players? Is Jalen Brunson going to be ahead of Jamal Murray?
For sure.
Jalen Brunson?
No question.
So you're right. He does need to remind people. And I don't want him to like do anything dangerous, but I do hope he comes with that attitude. Not the attitude of like, I'm going to ease into it, you know, got to blow whatever. I hope it's I need to wake some people up.
No doubt. That's the thing, like listening to that same guy earlier talk about Nikola Jokic shouldn't have his complimentary players. It comes up there like, all, you know, here's Jamal Murray. Like, you know, that's a pretty good little player. He's, you know, it's like, and you're like, God damn it, man. Like, Jamal Murray is fucking dope. Like, Jamal Murray tore the heart out of the Utah Jazz. Jamal Murray turned in the most impressive performances we've ever seen. I mean, you can throw an asterisk on there if you want to, if you're soft, but he was just making shots like, that were so pressure filled over and over and over again. And he was just an absolute fucking killer. And now we're looking at him as like a charity case. And so I'm ready for Jamal to come back and scream.
I want Jamal who's chomping at the bit. And the Nuggets are holding him back. Like, hey, the safety is we can't let him play as much as he wants. But I don't know if that's the case. Like, the way the team's talking about him, they are putting him in bubble wrap. And again, it's smart. They know better in terms of where he's at physically, this or that, or where he will be. But I just hope that there is that mentality of, no, I'm out here to remind everybody, and that's what he takes. That does it for today. Do you have something, Harrison, you want to close with?
No, I just can't wait to see Jamal back out there, man. Mm. Like, people forget that. He was primed, I think, for just a massive show out in the playoffs. Like, he had that 50-point game against the Cavs. The Nuggets starting lineup was dominating, like, it was right there for the taking, and everything's just been delayed a couple years, but we're almost back.
I will say this, Jamal going hard for 20 minutes could be cool to watch. It's true. And you know what, Eric, it means if Jamal's only playing 20-25 minutes, you know what that means, right?
That means we're winning games. It means
Colin Gillespie's in the rotation.
Is it Steady Colin?
Oh, no. I know what it means. It means Bones.
Thank you. I couldn't believe it took us this long to arrive.
I was queuing Eric up for that. I was lobbing it up for him.
Guys, I'm hungover from Vegas. You got to give me more of a tea than that. And also, Adam, we have some super chats. Lest we forget.
You're right. I put these out there. Thank God. This is why we have producers. David W. says, Colin Gillespie, Adam's son, thank you, Adam, large adult son, is a hooper. Oh, man, he's feeding everybody in the super chat.
Ooh, I would disagree with that.
Also, what's up, D-Line? You're a cutie.
That super chat went a lot of places. Wow, that super chat, you're gonna blush. That super chat really took us all over the place. I didn't know. I'm from down. I was mad at the beginning. I was just over. I was just flushed at the end.
There you go. Denver Smuggett says, "I really appreciated the recent content, guys. Thank you." Quick question, because it's fun. How would you try to guard Murray, Bones, MPJ, AG, Jokic? This is the all fun lineup. Two ball handlers who are also 3-point shooters. Michael Porter, of course. Aaron Gordon, then, and then Jokic. How would you try to guard it?
You can't guard that.
You want to take it, Harrison?
I don't know how you guard it either, man.
You don't guard it.
Say a couple Hail Marys and
hopefully they'll miss the shot. Like that's about it.
Yeah.
That has every part of the try to foul Bones Highland.
I don't know.
Dude, that has every part of the court. Every part of the court is covered with that lineup.
Yeah, I would say the way you try to guard it is by attacking Bones on the other end. Like you want to draw fouls, you want to slow that game down, and that's why I don't know how much we'll get. Although I will say, we've done this in the past where we've talked about, man, this will be the most fun lineup, and then Michael Malone literally never plays it.
Zero minutes because it's not necessarily
a good lineup. It's the most fun lineup. So this is a lineup that I kind of think, like, if I said the first day we see that lineup, it's going to be like March 26th. It'll be like the first time.
Francisco, I have one blanket that's ruffled behind me on my desk. He says my house needs to be cleaned. I don't know if you're talking about my like my internal house, like
metaphorically. And then last one here, our guy Ray says, shout out to Megan McPeak on the broadcast. Shout out. All right.
Okay. So,
that does it for us today, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. By the way, what do we have? One or two more shows left this week, Harrison? Do you remember? Two more shows.
I think two more. Yeah.
Yeah. So we might be back, I think, maybe for a casual Friday, maybe for a post game. We'll have to see. We'll check our schedules. Let me scroll now to where the outro video is. Ah, I'll see you, buddy.